Welcome and breathe in air. Abstract Illusions Radio, the show that explores and exposes the many aspects of expression, with your host, Jennifer Hellman. Good evening, everyone. This is Jennifer Hellman, and I thank you so much for stopping by and listening to air tonight. It is with great, great honor and pleasure that I have Bernadette Dickinson on the show. She is a psychic, a healer, a spiritual coach, a wonderful friend. We share birthdays, and her website is bernadettesvision.com. Tonight we're going to be talking about actually, the very reason why I really got to know Bernadette, which is about spiritual protection and psychic protection. Welcome, Bernadette. How are you?
Thank you. I'm good. I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. Much better because of you. Very true. I actually met Bernadette on Keen.com, where you can call in there and get a reading. Bernadette is not doing readings tonight. So, even though she's a wonderful psychic, if you want a reading from her, go to her website, go on Keen. She's well worth taking the time and the money. She is incredible. But tonight, we are just doing a discussion on the spiritual and psychic protection. So if you have a comment, that's fine. But don't be asking questions, like personal questions. I would appreciate that. So we met because we met on Keen. We started chatting, and I went and got an EMF treatment from her, and she goes, "Ooh, something really bad happened to you." And we opened Pandora's box, just kind of in a way, wouldn't you say?
God, that was so long ago. You know, and I barely remember that session, but that's kind of typical anyways when I'm working with somebody, so... But, yeah, it did. And it created a bond.
Yes, it did. I just remember you saying you felt this tremendous pain ripping down your side as you were doing something on my heart. And it really just, basically, I had been, as a child, used for human experimentation by the military, and the reptilians were semi-involved with that. And it really started opening up a giant adventure in the whole realm of being part of that very...
Coming out of it.
Yeah, and coming out of it. I am
more
very much...
more yeah. importantly, coming
and,
out of
and,
it.
Yes, and I learned how to use universal law to protect myself. And that is something I hope that we do cover in this, because in universal law, if you don't give them permission, they can't cross it. They have to respect that. Sometimes they attempt not to, but as me and Bernadette know very well, there is ways to make sure you're protected. So,
well, and we all have little holes. I mean, I think
that's, oh, yes.
That's one of the biggest parts of protecting yourself spiritually is make sure all of your entryways are clear. And I don't think many people even realize how many points of entry, you know, any kind of evil or any kind of manipulative energy has. We have a lot of holes. And they're simple.
Yes.
They're simple.
Yes.
As easy as it is to be programmed, and that's a big one with me, is the program we go through with children, and not to the extent that you did, for sure, but all of us have been programmed. All of us live a programmed life if we're not awake, if we're not conscious, and that's step one, you know, to really kind of protecting yourself is wake up. Wake up.
So what are some of, I mean, definitely opening up and being aware of what's going on, what would you say is some kind of ways to get clues that you need to really kind of check out things, ways to know that they've snuck in to some of those openings?
Well, and they're not going to always be major attacks. I mean, you know, there are people, in fact, I had an email today that I shared with you, that from mm-hmm. someone that said they had something bad in their place, and that they have a picture on their phone, which I didn't see the picture of a woman's face, and was really shaken up. And, you know, the thing that I got, and I haven't talked to her yet, but was that it was attached to her. You know, mm-hmm. did she do anything purposely to open it up? No. I mean, there are things we do to open a portal up, like Ouija boards, bad. Mm-hmm. Don't do it unless you know what you're doing, which few people do. Don't mm-hmm. even go there. That's step one. You know, that's just basic spiritual protection 101. Don't go there. But have a very strong spiritual foundation. You know, you can get lost really easily in studying things that are subtle. You know, subtle mistruths and subtle things that start to get you sort of more in your mind than in the now. You know, well, you and I have talked extensively about mm-hmm. astral projection and dealing with things in the realm, the astral realm. You know, seeing visions, having communications with other astral beings that aren't physical. And mm-hmm. you just don't know who you're dealing with. And I have a personal experience that you can get lost in there and you think you're talking to someone of light. Lo and behold, not.
Yeah, they really.
Your whole life falls apart.
Yeah, they really do know how to kind of fake it really well. They literally, in your mind's eye, they will look like the person. To briefly go over, not using direct names, but the connection I had was with a musician, and he is a very public figure, and they literally were able to really manipulate both of us in a sense that it really was messed up, that they really used him to manipulate me, and they manipulated him as well. So,
and a sign of that is you begin to focus on the face, the person, the image, the
right.
conversation. And it's always in a mental realm. It's not in the here and now. It's not like Jen and I talking right now. It's you know, in a meditation, in a vision. You get so lost in that, you're no longer taking care of daily life.
Right.
And it overruns your daily life to the point where you feel like something's missing if you're not there. I had a friend who's very close to me who went through the same thing, not with any kind of celebrity. But boy, was it sneaky. She started studying some stuff that was really kind of questionable. And it started out, you know, with hermetic science, not mm-hmm. something I would recommend. Madame Blavatsky, the Theosophy, went along those lines, continued on to studying the Masons and then agreeing with the Masons and then worshiping the Masons and their God. And I won't even mention the name, but I will tell you, from that point on, she lost it. She's been diagnosed bipolar, which I don't necessarily agree with. I mean, if I was a psychologist, I would probably say bipolar or schizophrenic. But knowing what I know about her, knowing what I know about what's happened to her life, she's lost her home, her family, her health, her mind. She's lost everything. And it happened rapidly. I mean, mm-hmm. in a matter of months and then weeks, it progressed. And literally, she's emaciated. And no mm-hmm. one even recognizes her. Her family walked away from her. You know, no one can deal with her. And I had to step away, too, because this thing tried to come after me. And it did get somewhere. But, you know, you got to watch it. You got to watch what you study. You got to watch what you put in into
right.
your mind.
Now, in my situation, it actually started the manipulations even in the womb. So they really were kind of setting me up from the get-go.
That's how programming works, though, if you think about
yeah.
it.
Yeah, and it really does. And, you know, it's coming to terms that I came in with the accepting doing this and then pulling away from it, saying, no, I've done enough, thanks so much. So it was definitely an interesting trip, and Bernadette helped me a lot with this.
And we're talking extreme cases. I mean, both yours and
right.
my other friend, there were extreme cases. You know, there's very subtle cases. They're very subtle manipulations.
And can you give some example of something really subtle that really can still have a profound effect on you?
You know, temptations with addictions is an easy one. That's yeah. And really, you know, okay, well, I'm just going to have one piece of cake. Next thing you know, it's every day. Pretty soon, your whole body starts to sort of fall apart. You know, your vibration lowers depending on what you put in your body. The more processed foods, the more junk foods, the more your body vibration, all of it goes down. And now you have no way to say no to it. Now you're like justifying in your mind, it's okay. You know, and that becomes a focus rather than being in the here and now, being very conscious about what you're thinking, how you're feeling, and what you're doing, who you're being. Little things like that. I mean, you know, and I'm using food. It could be alcohol. It could be drugs. You know, yeah.
Gambling. Anything that's an escapism.
Mm-hmm.
Is a really good way of, you know, you got to stop and saying, okay. I mean, in some ways, even Facebook, in some ways.
Uh-huh. Well, and people pleasing is a really yeah. subtle one. You know, the minute you get into the place of the ego where you're trying to please other people to get their approval, now you've got an open door. Now mm-hmm. other things can enter because all it needs to do is trigger your ego just a little bit. And as long as it's feeding the ego, now a program's running and you're no longer in control. Well, through that doorway, other things can come in. Now you're open to other temptations. As long as you give in to one, other things start to open. You have to be very clear on what you're doing. And, you know, religion can be another one. You know, and as much as I hate to say that, because I've studied all of the religions, and I do believe in Jesus Christ, and I am, you know, very much grounded in all of the belief systems, I have my own. I don't call myself by any one religion. Mm-hmm. I believe very strongly that there is a God and things are as they should be, you know, and that's my belief. I'm not going to hammer mm-hmm. it over anyone's head, but I also don't proclaim to be part of any church. I've been kicked out of too many to become because they don't agree with the gifts that I have, you know, but if I associate myself with a religion and that becomes the focus versus love versus who I say I'm going to be, you have another open door. And then pretty soon, all you're doing is justifying everything you're doing based on the religion. Same as an addict.
Mm-hmm.
Same with a workaholic. That's a big one. And that's so subtle. People don't realize how much of their lives get eaten away and destroyed because they work too much.
Mm-hmm.
Their family.
Until everything falls apart. They end up in the hospital because they've had a heart attack because, you know, they've worked themselves literally to exhaustion and don't see the subtle things that come in. It really is very rapid, the little things that happen. So.
The pursuit of money is, you know, such a big temptation and such a program that we've run in this country big time. But,
huge.
You know, you have to have this and you have to have that, you know, credit, another open door. Who would think? But it is, because the minute you start relying on credit, you become a slave to those payments pretty soon.
Yes.
That's your focus and not where you're walking, listening to the signs in nature, listening to the signs and the words from spirit. You're no longer tuned in. You're disconnected. And when you disconnect, it leaves openings for negativity to come in and start to mess with you. You know, jealousy, all the things of the ego are always an open door. Any of that, greed, jealousy, power, pleasure even, you know, I mean, we could go on, but they're little things. They're not always, well, I went to a seance or, you know, I went to listen to some acid rock and roll band and there was weird vibrations and pretty soon doors started slamming. It's not always that drastic, although those things happen.
Mm-hmm. So, okay, with the subtle things, I mean, it also is almost like a domino effect in mm-hmm. many ways. Once you start doing one thing, it kind of leads to another and another. And it just, they make you feel good. And that's what, depending on what it is, I mean, to me, hugging a tree is not a bad addiction to have. And I do. I absolutely love just going and sitting with a tree and communing with the tree. And that helped ground me and bring me back to reality with nature.
Yeah, but you went into it conscious, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
You don't go and hug a tree without thinking about what you're doing.
Sometimes it does. All of a sudden, I just know to hug a tree. So I go and hug a tree.
Right, but that means you're already connected. If you know that that's what you need, you're already connected, and you're not disconnected. You know, one of the big ones that I see, and I'm sure you do too, daily, doing readings for people, one of the biggest openings is getting hung up on relationships.
Oh, it's huge.
I can't tell you how many people call me, you know, am I going to get married? Is he going to marry me? Why doesn't he talk to me? The relationship breaks up and they can't let go. Now there's your obsession or your addiction. Now you're stuck on those things and you start calling a psychic about it. And then you're calling them every day because you can't let go. You're no longer living your life. You know, I have some people that have tried to call me 3-4 times a day, and it's like, okay, you can't talk to me anymore. This is not healthy, and it's keeping you stuck. Therefore, all your doors are open. Now anything can come in. And the next guy that shows up or next woman that shows up, healthy or not, you're jumping in. Now you've started this whole ball. And how many of these people call us, Jen, and say, I don't understand why God's doing this to me. God's not doing that to you.
No.
Or to you.
And it's the one thing I find actually on the increase is men, as women getting involved with married men and wondering if he's going to leave his wife.
Yeah. There's no moral standard.
It's like, hello.
Yeah. No, and for those listening, they don't leave their wife.
They really don't.
On the rare occasion, after several years, they may leave the wife and stay with you for a short time. Guaranteed, they will find somebody else.
Because it's escapism. And the other thing, it usually is the wife leaving the husband, not necessarily the man leaving the woman, the wife. So, and it's escapism. His door is open, and he figures if he can find one woman, guess what? He will do it to you and find somebody else.
Because he's feeding his own addiction.
Yeah. So, really, if there's a married man, respect yourself to say, you know, we can be friends, talk every once in a while, but that's about it. Yeah. If you want to do that, so.
The other ones, too, you know, there's a lot of people that are dealing with high anxiety. You know, and if you're dealing with anxiety, you have to find a way to ground yourself and take control of your thoughts. Wild thoughts, uncontrolled mind is the best way for any kind of negativity to come in and start affecting your life. It can be a big negative entity or influence. It can be little. It doesn't matter. If you don't have your thoughts controlled, you are open to attack from all kinds of places because your mind will obsess. And, I mean, simple things, you know, like low self-esteem. There's an easy doorway in. Easy. So shore up your self-esteem. Start giving yourself affirmations. That's an easy one. It should be. I should say it should be an easy one. It takes work. It really does.
It does. As somebody who went through it, I mean, if I even start getting it, I start praying to God. The second anything, any kind of anxiety, anytime I start getting negative, start worrying about anything, I literally say, I can't worry about this, God. I know you're here. I know you're with me. This is something you need to take care of because I'm one with you. I'm in my heart, and I know this is all going to be a temporary situation and be taken care of. Prayer helped me a lot.
Yeah.
And knowing the difference between the false God and the real God. And the energy is quite different. It can be kind of subtle, but there is so many different kinds of entities out there that, they're really good impressionalist.
Well, and the thing is this, when you're walking in peace, you know, in the spirit of God and the spirit of light, you're dealing with peaceful energy. It's an all encompassing, the mind quiets, the body quiets. Everything slows down. You know, I deal with a lot of ADD people, you know this, and a lot of people with anxiety issues. Throughout the years, for some reason, I've always attracted them. And at one time in my life, I went through a period of really high anxiety and even, you know, suicide thoughts and actions. You know, I didn't want to be here. I had a really hard time staying embodied. And one of the things that I found most helpful was writing down, first of all, how I was feeling, and then turning around and reversing it into positive affirmations, just taking exactly what I was telling myself or hearing in my head or from other people, because we do have little tapes that go off on our heads from family members, you know, society, whatever. Taking those things that I would run through my head repeatedly and turning them into a positive thought, into a positive affirmation. And it
give
helps,
an example.
But you have to keep doing it.
Okay, give an example.
Okay, for instance, you know, there was a time in my life when I did care what everyone thought. You know, I had a real problem with people criticizing me. I'd gone through a lot in my life, you know, especially because I come from a very Catholic Christian background. And been kicked out of churches for delivering messages I had no choice but to deliver, and was told that I was evil and blah, 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 blah. I mean, all kinds of things. It runs the gamut. So there was an affirmation I was given years ago before I moved to where I am now. So however long that's been, what, 10 years?
Mm-hmm.
And it goes something like this, and it doesn't have to be exact, but it was something like, I don't care what you think. And what you think will not affect my next move. And what you think is none of my business. That's a powerful one because, A, it gives the other person, people, the freedom to think whatever they want. And it gives me the freedom to not care and to not make it my business to hand it off back to where it belongs. You get to think what you want, but that doesn't get to affect how I feel, what I think, or what I do. And when I got through that one, it was amazing how free it was because I was able to do things in my life without limits that before I would think, ooh, what's my mom or dad going to think? What are my kids going to think? Who cares what they, this is your life. Live it. As long as you're doing it without hurting somebody else or taking something from somebody else, then you know you're doing the right thing.
Right. Now, we do have Tanya on line one. You ready to take a call?
Sure.
All right. Tanya? Are you there?
I'm there. I'm here.
Okay. What's going
Hi,
on?
Hi, Tanya.
Hi. I just wanted to share an experience that I had of an attack and see maybe if you have any feedback on how I can better protect myself.
Okay.
There was one night a few months ago, I was lying in bed, wasn't sleeping. I have difficult time sleeping. I was lying there thinking, you know, oh, when am I ever going to sleep? Can I just go to sleep for once? And then I heard what sounded like keys coming into my front door. And I'm like, that's strange. It's the middle of the night. There's only a couple of people that have keys. They don't live anywhere near here, like my family. And I heard what sounded like people or something walking into my apartment. It sounded like there was about four of them. They walked into my bedroom. I heard them say, I wonder if she knows they're here, that we're here. And in my head, I said, hello, I'm not sleeping right now. And at that point, I was paralyzed. And it was quite frightening. I used, at first I called Archangel Michael, and then I'm like, no, remember, you can turn your own light on. So I closed my eyes, and I concentrated with everything that I had to just fill my being with light, my bedroom with light, to get them away from me and off of me, because I felt like they were all over me and attacking me in some way. I mean, it's not a physical, but I just knew they were all over me trying to do something, and it took me a while to keep them at bay, but I did.
Okay.
And I think what I've learned through some of my experiences is that they know that I know when they are around, and it brings fear out of me, and I believe that they're trying to feed off my fear, so now when I feel it coming on, I put a big smile on my face, and I say, you're not scaring me anymore. You're not going to feed off my fear.
Good. Actually, I mean, that's good. You know, Archangel Michael's good because he's a defender of humanity. He's a good one to call on. I typically, because of all the things I've dealt with on the dark side, it's been a lot. You know, typically I will just call on Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
But that's if they get into my house. My house is pretty tightly locked up on the protection side, and I sage regularly. I pray and I sage my house, get everything out, open all the doors, and kind of sage everything out. Then I draw a line of salt across every doorway, And I have a lot of doors, but it's worth
salt
doing.
Windows as well?
What's that?
Do you have to use the salt on the windows as well? Or just the door?
I don't. What I do on the windows is I get some olive oil and I pray over it and I ask God to bless it. And I take it just like they did back in the days of the Jews. And they would take the oil and put a cross over the doorways and the windows. And I do it on my doorways and my windows too. And I make a cross. That was a sign back then that that house was protected by the blood of the Lamb.
Yeah.
They can't enter. And you set the rules. You flat out. You are not allowed in here.
Oh, I set the rules all right, but they don't seem to listen because this is not just one instance. This has been going on for like a while. And it's just like I don't get them that bad, but that one was a bad one.
Do you put salt out your doorways, huh?
I haven't, but I've sage, but maybe I need to do a little bit more.
Sage is good to clear out energy, but sage
won't. I also play my crystal singing bowl to bring in, you know, high energy throughout every room in my house.
Well, those things are good. They are good, but they won't keep things out. And the thing with negative energies or negative spirits like that, they can come in, you know, attached to animals, attached to human beings. There's what I call hitchhikers, where they'll grab onto someone and come in with them. They can't do it if they're salt out the doorways, and they can't come in on their own if you've got the oil and the salt. They're just extra precautions, but I'll tell you, the power in it is amazing, like night and day.
Okay. Well,
and as it wears out, you'll have to sage again, oil again, and salt again, but it does work.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The other thing that I do quite as often as I can is also holy water on the inside and the outside of the house.
Okay.
And I bless the house that way. And I literally say nothing but the highest vibration of light will pass through this door or into this home. And I really have felt quite a difference since I started doing that with the salt and the oil over the doors and all. So
yeah, they
it
can't
really
pass through. Salt's like running water to them. They can't pass through.
Okay.
So if you can't put a moat around your house, then put salt. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I also try and bathe with it as well to get whatever I collected during the day off of me.
Perfect. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, and people that do that, you know, I always have to remind them, dunk your head in, because where your tax comes the most when you're outside of your safety zone is in your mind.
Right. That's one thing that I haven't done, so thank you for that. I will definitely do that, too.
Yes, it's kind of funky for the hair, but, you know.
Yeah, whatever. Whatever works, right?
Right.
I'd rather have funky hair than, you know, having negative spirits attached to me or, you know.
Well, and patchouli oil, you know. I don't like the smell particularly, especially going out and about. But if I feel weak at any time, or I know I'm going around someone that's got funky energy and I'm leaving my house, I'll put on some patchouli oil.
Oh, excellent.
Then I'll like patchouli oil.
The other thing that Stuart Wild suggests is lavender oil.
Okay.
On your crown, your throat, and your heart, and your solar plexus. At least those three, and that will protect you as well.
I can put on without a carrier oil as well.
Yeah, it's, you know, the simple little things make a huge difference. I mean, me and Bernadette kind of went our separate ways for a little bit, and you noticed a difference when we started talking again, that my vibration had really gotten much better.
Oh, good.
Since, didn't you, Bernadette, that you were saying things were feeling better about me?
Yeah, you actually feel so much more uplifted and clear. Yeah.
So it's all these little simple things and dealing with a lot of garbage.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for all those great advice. I'm certainly going to put it to use right away.
Well, you know, here's another one for you, hon. This is one of my favorite ones. When you're going through any kind of warfare, and you need some extra prayers or extra protection, read Psalms 91. That one was given to me during probably the lowest point of my life.
So Psalms 91.
As far as, like, spiritual warfare when I was dealing with it for the first time in my life in my early 20s that I was aware of. Let's just put it that way. They said, pray Psalms 91. And that's the one that you're praying protection over yourself, your home,
okay.
and nothing will come near you. And it's an empowering prayer.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you for listening and calling in. I really appreciate it, Tanya.
Thank you.
So, it's becoming more evident or more obvious because I think more and more people are becoming more aware. So, you gave a lot of great ways of protection. And
one of the big ones I think people don't realize, and Jen, you know this as much as I do, who you have in your personal space is going to affect. You know, there are things called vampires, psychic vampires, and literally that is someone who is sort of victimized in life. They're constantly complaining. They're constantly in need of something, and they're constantly ringing your phone or asking you for help. Whatever. I mean, there's always a million things going on with this person, but always in the negative. They never can see the glass half full. They can never really stop and smell the roses, and their faith is gone, you know. And it's masked fear for sure, but in their lives, because of all these things that happen to them, they justify it. You know, it's justified fear. This is happening, and my back hurts, and, you know, their speech is very negatively oriented to the point where when they're around you or when you pick up the phone, you immediately feel this drop in your energy. It's so low vibration. It happens in relationships all the time. You know, there's a Bible verse that says, don't be unequally yoked. And that doesn't just mean like you have to marry someone who's of the same faith. That's not what that meant. It really meant make sure you're of equal belief and equal vibration, because if you're not, you can only come down to the energy. Typically, people low vibration, unless they're really working on themselves, will not make it up to where you are for quite a long period of time. So in order to keep the connection going, the only choice is for you to lower your vibration. That's the only way it works. The higher vibration has to come down to match the lower vibration. It's the same way it works when Jen and I connect and do a reading. You know, we don't go to the level of the vibration of spirit. Spirit lowers its vibration to match ours. We meet kind of in the middle. Well, the same thing happens in relationships. So you have to be careful. Who are your friends? Who's your boss? Who's your, you know, what family members are you talking to that are constantly criticizing you or complaining and this, that, and everything else is going wrong? Because pretty soon your energy has to lower, and it will start doing it automatically. You won't even realize it's happening. The minute you pick up the phone, boom, your energy drops. Just out of habit. And when you're around that every day, you begin to lose pieces and parts of yourself, and pretty soon you're in that energy more than you're ever back in higher vibration. And it's hard to get back there once you've lost it, because the mental game starts. The mental ride starts of, I should have known better.
Yes.
Why didn't I see this?
Well, it's interesting that, at least for me now, if I get like a headache, I can tell who it's from. I had a headache, and I knew it was from a guy that I was dating. And I literally did the sea salt, dipped my head, and before I did, I gave the intention to remove any energy that was not mine, dipped my head underneath the water, came back up. It was gone. Literally that fast.
It's amazing the tools we've been given to navigate, you know, this plane.
And you really... The more aware you are, the more conscious of your body, that's a huge barometer for you. It's to really get in touch with how your body feels and really understand the little aches and the little subtle things. And I literally clue into that headache, and I said, okay, this doesn't feel like me. Who is it? Give me a name. And generally, I can get a name so I can get erased that. Plus, it's like send that energy back. And unless it's for my highest good, he can disappear. And I have literally many times understood that somebody came into my life for a lesson. And once I learned that lesson, I don't need that person in my life anymore. Really. Unless it's for my highest good. So literally I will say, if I've learned all the lessons from these people, from this person, and from this situation, have them disappear. If there's still something to learn, put it in my face. Let me learn it so I can get through with this.
I mean, literally
within an hour. Hey, moving out of town. Been really nice knowing you. Thanks so much. Bye-bye.
Yeah. Well, any kind of, I mean, it's funny, any kind of emotional or mental attachment we have to someone or something literally can turn into an attack overnight.
Oh, yeah.
Or in a moment. I mean, it can. How many times have I talked to people and you've talked to people that they're so emotionally attached to having something happen with one person or one situation or, you know, I have to have this thing and I will not be happy until I have this thing. They're always waiting for it to happen. And their emotions are riding this wave because it's not happening.
Right.
When you have an attachment like that, any kind of attachment to the outcome, and you're not just saying, you know, thy will be done for the highest good of all, then you're putting yourself in a position where your fears come out, your emotions start to ride some wild roller coaster wave, your manipulations start showing their ugly face. I mean, how many times do we, I shared that quote on my newsletter last week about, you know, love is when you allow someone to be and do what they want and who they are without them needing to do what you want or to meet your expectations. That's huge. Because how many times do we snap off because, oh, my kids didn't meet my expectations, or my husband didn't meet my expectations, or my boyfriend didn't show up with flowers, or, you know, he didn't call when he said he would. And immediately you're stuck in this realm of anger. And along with the anger come the hidden fears of abandonment and everything else. And you're saying things to the other person or about the other person that open up a whole realm that isn't in love. And when you're not in love, you're open to attack. Plain and simple. So stop expecting everything to work out the way you have it pictured in your head, because that is the first step to an attack, the easiest attack.
And it, my situation, that's exactly, I literally became obsessed to the nth degree about this situation. Do we even want to go to the love bite scenario?
No.
Okay.
That's a whole other show.
That is literally a whole other show. So you have to come back and we'll talk about that one.
Yeah, that's a long, drawn-out show, too. Holy cow.
And so basically, I was programmed that he was a be-all and end-all. And it got to the point that he was everything. And, I mean, literally, I traveled around just to be near him and talk about debt, huge amount, and it just kept building and building because they just fed it. I had to do it. I really was literally out of control, and I finally got control. And
how different is that energy, though, of like a hoarder?
Yeah.
It's not. It really, I mean, you know, you can justify it a little more because your emotions are much more tied when you can tie it to a person, a human being. But it's no different with people that are hoarders. They have to have that thing. They can't let go of it. And then they have to have this other thing. And pretty soon their whole house is so packed, nobody can walk through any room. And on the outside, you can look in and go, that is completely dysfunctional. But you can't even see it because you feel like if one thing's taken away, you're going to die. And it's the same way with that obsessive compulsive attachment to a relationship. You feel like if you're not with that person, near that person, around that person, looking at that person's picture, oh my God, I'm going to die. And that takes your focus off of all things love, all things light. No longer are you looking at God. No longer are you looking at what you're doing either. And when your focus is outside and not internally, you're screwed.
Literally, it was literally a long haul for me to finally break that cycle, but I did it, and I feel it's like I can listen to this man's music and not think, oh, it was just, I mean, I have no attachment to his music except, yeah, that's a good song. That's it. It isn't, it's like day and night now with this whole situation. Not going to his concerts anymore. That's huge for me. But it is something really, and for a while there's a lot of people who were suddenly being attached to musicians or to a public figure, and they were coming out, and it really was part of a huge experiment that we'll go on to another time. But once you break that cycle and you realize it's not, you know, you're getting angry at God, you're not going to God, you realize that you've gone over a little too far. And, you know, I slept with my Bible for months and months and months and read it and just prayed to be free again and not to have the life that I knew was not me. It was literally somebody else had taken over my body. And it was ugly. And I can totally relate to people who have, you know, they need this, and it's like, I'm very plain, dry, practical, straightforward, and it's like I'm making up for lost time because I lost so much because of that obsession. Mm-hmm. So, hard lesson to learn, but I learned it really well. So, and there are a lot of people now, a lot of healers that can help you open that door. But understand, it's not an easy door. If you have an obsession on a certain person, a certain object, a certain any kind of addiction,
anything on the outside, you know, you and I talked about this many years ago about I studied Kabbalah for the longest time.
Right.
And, you know, Kabbalah teaches, which I agree with completely. If you replace the word Satan in the Bible with the word ego, it makes so much more sense. Because really, the enemy, a lot of times, the enemy is the ego. And it pulls on everything that resides in the ego. Fear, greed, power, pleasure, all of the things in the ego get tempted, tested, whatever you want to say. You know, anytime you need approval from, and this is what the Kabbalah says about ego. Ego is the need for approval from anyone else, including yourself, except for God. Huge, huge. All God asks you to do is love. So if you're not doing that, you're pretty much walking in ego. And if you're walking in ego, you are open to attack. Because you're walking in fear, you're walking in hatred, you're walking in greed, jealousy, malice, whatever. You know, you're lying, cheating, stealing. And it's not that hard to see it when we look at the program we have in our own lives. I mean, how easy is it, Jen, to kind of look at your life and go, when was I walking in a place where I needed my own approval? We set impossible standards for ourselves sometimes.
Oh, yeah. And a lot of times, I mean, my whole family had a very high standard, and I went to my dad, and I questioned him on it, and he goes, yes, I made an impossible standard that he literally admitted he had set us up to fail. And I said, what good is that doing to your children to think that all they could do was fail? Is that really what you're trying to do? And he goes, I want you to work hard and be the very best you can be. Well, that isn't going to match up. Yeah. And that, it was mind-blowing because I said, you really have set us up to fail, Dad. You have no idea what you've done. And he goes, you're right, I didn't realize that. And it really kind of set him back, and yet he still has his high standards for himself. But I said, I'm living by my own standards, and the standards is God. Whatever God feels is for the highest good of all, that's it.
Well, and the perfect example of how to live that way is check out your dog or your cat. I mean, seriously, yeah, especially cats. They pretty much live by the beat of their own drum, period. They eat when they want. They sleep when they want. They go to the bathroom when they want. you know, and when they want something from you, they make your life pretty miserable until you give in. If they really need something from you, the rest of the time, they're chasing a ball or laying in the sun, taking a nap. They do whatever they want. Occasionally, they want to play ball and they want to please us, you know, but they enjoy those things. When they don't want to play, there's nothing you can do. Nothing.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't matter how much pleasure it gives you. They won't do it. They're the perfect example of how to live a balanced life.
Well, any of the animals, really. I mean,
Yeah. Granted,
you have the interaction, but I will sit and watch for hours, actually, watching animals out my front window. And just the rabbits are just, like, stretched out, taking it easy. And it's like, that's the life.
And they're tuned in. They know when there's a predator. They know when to run.
Yeah.
You know, they know when not to hunt. They know when it's too cold and they just need to stay in their little caves. They know because they're tuned in. Do we? No, we have no idea.
No.
We can't even watch the signs in nature and say, oh, there's something that we're not doing right here. And that's a whole other show, too. But, you know,
yes.
if you watch your animals really closely or babies, you know, they're not there to please anyone. They're there to take care of their needs and to grow and to learn. You
yes.
can't expect an infant to be born and be born just for your pleasure because they're going to need to eat and they're going to scream if they're not getting it when they need it, period.
And I was watching an interview with Wayne Dreyer, and he says, we come in innocent, and eventually as we grow old, we generally are supposed to be returning to that same innocence as we, you know, grow older. And it's like that really that cycle is just a beautiful goal in my mind to return to that innocence and that freedom. And that
and
just
how do you do that? The only way you can do that is clear the mind.
Yeah.
Erase your hard drive. Really, you don't need all the garbage you've put in there. You know,
reset.
There's so
reset.
Many things. Yeah, there's so many things that we get that are shoved upon us, like from the media, from TV, from magazines, from whatever. You know, watching
mm-hmm.
the Joneses. And it's really nonsense when it boils down to it. You know, what works for me is not going to work for you. What works for you isn't going to work for the guy next door. All of us have a different experience, and we all have a different sort of job to do and different lessons to learn. So we just have to be very aware of what can I do, what can't I do, what should I do, what shouldn't I do, based upon what's going on internally at the moment. Because even stuff that I did 10 years ago, I can no longer do now. Things I thought back then, I can't even fathom where I came up with the belief system that supported that stuff.
And it just, and stay away from drama.
Please. Yeah. Check, please.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, because drama, you might as well say ego.
There are going to be times, you know, especially doing the job that I've been given, for whatever reason, I have this strange ability to attract people that are getting attacked, and big attacks, not little attacks, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I get those, you know, major attacks. We're talking, you know, like this woman's talking, someone sitting on your chest, you can't move. And it happens so repeatedly that your sleep's disrupted, whatever, whatever. Or your life falls apart to the point where your hair is falling out for no apparent
mm-hmm.
reason. Your health goes to hell, and you don't know where it's coming from. I've been in the midst of those things in individuals' lives and in groups of people. And the biggest thing I can say as far as how to protect yourself so you don't lose your mind and you don't stay focused on it is keep your eyes on God where it belongs. And know that no matter what, you may not be strong enough, but he who put you in that position to begin with is. And you've got power from angels, you've got energy of light. If you stay in the place of love, it dissipates all negativity, no matter how powerful that negativity thinks it is. Dissipates it.
Mm-hmm.
And anger, when left alone, returns to love. When you don't react to it or you don't act upon it, it will always return to love. You cannot be angry with someone if you didn't love them first.
Right. Now, real quick, because we actually just have a few more minutes. suggestions on the fluctuating energies that's going on? Or should
grab
we wait and
chair.
Just... Yeah.
Can, grab a lawn chair.
I might as well say, Bernadette, you busy next Thursday?
Seriously, no. I mean, you know, the energies are out of control, especially tomorrow and Saturday, and it's already amping up. People are really literally losing their minds. And the energies at play right now are energies we've never seen on this planet, not as strong as they are. We've got planetary lineups that are happening that are just astronomically ridiculous. But the best thing I can say is keep your mouth shut, get a lawn chair, and observe. Don't interact with it. Don't react to it. That's the biggest thing with any kind of attack at all or energy fluctuation at all. Just don't react to it. Sit back, keep your mouth shut, tightly sealed, and watch your own energy and observe the energy of the people around you and the things that are happening, and have faith that it's all supposed to happen. All of it. It's perfect. It needs to happen. Doesn't matter what comes out on the other side. That'll be perfect, too. Just ride through it.
One image that they're showing me is, think of a duck, and the water just washes off the back.
Mm-hmm.
That is,
or think of yourself in a movie theater, and things playing out in front of you are simply a movie, and pretty soon the lights come on and you go back outside and, you know, it's still daylight out there and nothing really went wrong. But while you were watching the movie, it was crazy.
Yeah. I put a quote on Facebook yesterday, and it basically, yes, of course, life is going to be, you know, pretty bizarre. You might as well, you know, sit back and enjoy the show. Just grab some popcorn and enjoy the show. And that really is one of the best ways to go. So.
Yeah, the show must go on. You can't stop it. There's no stopping it.
No. And, you know, it's just keep your heart filled with light and love and focused on God. And it helps tremendously because God will give you everything you truly need if you're really focused on the proper focus of God. So,
well, and honestly, because I don't want to end the show like making light of all the spiritual attack stuff. Really, if you're going through something that is destroying your life, then you need to get help. You can't do it alone. And there are times when spiritual attacks have happened that I've had to call in other people, knowing darn well that me alone was not enough.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no harm in that, and there's no shame in that. Go get help. Someone who knows what they're doing, you know, and knows how to help strengthen, empower you, and get rid of the stuff that's happening to you. And it's not a hard thing. I mean, it may appear hard on the surface, but really, it's not if it's someone that knows what they're doing. And be careful. Don't let people burn candles for you, because, yeah, that doesn't work.
No, it doesn't. So believe it or not, Bernadette, the hour is over.
I know that's fast.
Yeah. So check out Bernadette at her website, bernadettesvision.com. And if you need to get in touch with her, all the information is on there. Again, I was serious. Are you busy next week?
Next Thursday?
Next Thursday?
Actually, I am going to that drumming, so yeah, I am.
Oh, okay. Bummer. Yes. Well, Bernadette will be on again, I'm sure, in the near future. So check her out, her website. And thank you so much for all this wonderful information, all the help that you've given me. Really, truly a blessing to so many people besides me. So I deeply, deeply appreciate everything you have done for me.
Awesome. You've helped a lot of people yourself, Missy.
Well... Yeah, well, it's what I do, and it's what you do. So with this, with each breath of air, I hope you gain new insights and information. Until next time, many blessings and good night.